John Stuart Mill said that he would rather be Socrates dissatisfied than a swine satisfied.
Yes.
And the way he knew that that was true is that he asked people who had both experience, people who had debauched lives, and also people who studied, the same person who then studied philosophy. In your case, my belief is that you haven't studied, for example, full-on nature mysticism. You haven't experienced it. From what I've read, let me finish here.
All right.
And that what happens is that once we get to the transrational levels, and you talk about nature mysticism, then deity mysticism, then formless, and then non-dual, how can you know that you're not merely projecting what you've studied and the people who you're most enamored in, and then you've ended up producing this wonderful theory that once we get to the higher state says it's this way, this way, this way, when, you know, I'm pretty sure that they haven't and you haven't, you know. I mean, how do we know that the highest beings on this planet aren't, you know, some wild shaman somewhere now or in the past who have done stuff we just don't have any idea of, and that their, you know, ultimate states are just so, or maybe that they're, that maybe it's still not hierarchical, maybe they're just incommensurable, maybe they just don't line up.
Right.
And how do you know that the non-dual meditative thing isn't just your projection here? How could you know?
See, I have several funny lines that I'm not going to give because they won't translate very well to print. I'll try to give us a straight answer. Although I'm chortling inside, I'm so humorous to myself here. It's a very good question, and that's exactly right. And let me be the first to say that based on what I try to do in my writing is present evidence. And if there isn't evidence for something, then I try to shy away from it. I think that's why. Even when I went back and was editing the collected works, about 95% of everything I've written, I still stand by, because it was based on evidence at the time, and it's still, the evidence still holds up. What I found that would happen in my writings is I would just continue to expand it into other areas that I hadn't dealt with. But even the earlier books are very, very solid because it's based on a certain type of evidence and a certain. I try to be very careful about following the evidence, phenomenological, scientific, or spiritual experiences.
Sure, you're an empiricist, whether it's in the physical world or it's inner subjective hermeneutical verification.
Yeah, as long as we use that in the sense of immediate experience and awareness, and not in the sense of sensory awareness.
You're a scientist, Ken. It has to do with subjectivity, but you are a scientist.
Yes, also hopefully art, morals, and science. And hopefully I'm not. I'm all big three. I'm hoping not to get pigeonholed as a positivist, which Jorge Ferrar does to me, so I'm not going to let you get away with that. But we do try to look for evidence, definitely. And in this case, the general, there are several lines of argument. One of the most classic used by the traditions is the so-called Chinese box, which is if one state has access to the other state, but not vice versa, then you're probably dealing with a higher state. The three great states that all human beings have access to are waking, dream, and deep sleep. Generally speaking, those are also called gross, subtle, and causal. When consciousness has an expansion in any of those states, you get a different type of mystical feeling. In the gross realm, which is held to be the lowest ontological realm, gross realm is that which is defined by sensory perception. And frankly, it includes nature and Gaia and anything you can see in the waking state, generally speaking, based on the sensory motor perception. An expansion in the gross realm produces what we call nature mysticism. And it's an expansion with the entire sensory motor world, moment to moment. That's a very high state. As you know, in my own system, it's like 10 levels. It's number 7 or so. Mm-hmm. It's what Plotinus called the world soul.
Right.
Most of the people that acknowledge that have two or three higher states, including Aurobindo and including Plotinus, including most of the traditions. And they arrive at it being a higher state because once you have had an experience of the gross realm and being one with the gross realm in nature mysticism, when you then enter the dream realm during sleep, for example, or in Savikalpa Samadhi, the gross realm is suspended. So in the dream state, there is no Gaia. There is no physical, empirical nature, material world. You're instead in a world of luminosities and images, non-material images. And this dream state is held to be, if you then have an expansion of consciousness in the subtle, then you experience generally something known as deity mysticism, which is a oneness with beings that are not merely in the physical realm. Now, that being can include the oversoul itself. It can include yidams. It can become, you know, one with Christ or angels or yourself becoming a Dhyani Buddha, Sambhogakaya realization, for example. And what tends to happen under those circumstances is you also start lucid dreaming. So you have access to both the waking state and the dream state in consciousness. If consciousness continues to grow into the deep sleep or formless realm, then that experience is there's no gross realm present. There's no nature, no Gaia, nor is there any subtle realm present. There are no deities, no angels, no luminosities, no nothing. There is only causal formlessness, vast, unbounded consciousness as such, without an object. That's held to be a higher state, because generally speaking, they unfold in a way such that you can experience subtle states without experiencing causal permanence, but not vice versa. So in other words, if I'm permanently installed in causal witness, then by definition, I'm witnessing everything that's arising constantly. I'm aware of the gross realm of nature mysticism when it arises. In the dream state, when nature disappears, I am now witnessing the subtle realm. And then in the causal realm, I remain as the witness when no objects arise. But I can't have an experience of just the gross realm. In other words, be just a nature mystic. I can have that experience without being able to experience these other states, but not vice versa. Therefore, these other states are higher because they transcend and include a lesser state. So that's one way you establish that caudal mysticism.
You're saying it is pretty well empirically noted that it goes this way and not the other way.
It's not only empirically noted, it's almost logical too. I mean, you can just sort of deduce it. As I say, for example, you can have access to subtle states without having access to permanent causal witnessing, but not vice versa. If you're permanent causal witnessing, you have access to subtle states by definition and by the fact that you're witnessing everything that's arising, including all the subtle states.
And the only way for people to know that what you're saying is really true is to
experience it.
Right.
That's correct. So what you try to do is give kind of the argument of the Chinese boxes, saying that, look, experience shows us this, number one, and number two, there's a logical coherence about it. Even though these states themselves transcend logic, the fact is you can achieve one without the other, but not vice versa, and that not vice versa constitutes a hierarchy of unfolding. And the tradition certainly generally maintain in terms of nirmanakaya, sambhogakaya, dharmakaya, gross, subtle, causal. And I happen to believe that evidence supports that. There are other types of states that don't show that progression. Mm-hmm. And they're just equivalent states as far as we can tell. And generally what happens is in the subtle realm, for example, you can have all sorts of different types of subtle experiences. None of them seem to be particularly higher or lower. And you can have some without others, and there's no stage conception. Not everything occurs in stages. I say roughly in my own model about one out of three stage conceptions covers about a third of what's going on. But they're almost always left out because people don't want, stages hand them in and nobody wants to be hemmed in. So they just toss all that stuff out. Sort of a little boomeritis kind of thing going there. Yeah. But a lot of stuff doesn't occur in stages. And it's certainly true with various types of waking state mysticism or nature mysticism. All sorts of variations occur there. The shamanic state actually tends to move from nature into subtle. It does have some subtle sambhogakaya mysticism going on, particularly when you have journeys to the upper world and underworld. Mm-hmm. Now, even though they do tend to have kind of a nature imprint, in many cases they're getting much more into subtle luminosities and even kundalini experiences tend to happen. But the formless state tends to be not often understood in shamanism, and religious experience is not understood very well in shamanism. And then I make a classic distinction, which is unless you've gone through the causal unmanifest, you can't really have a true non-dual state, because the actual non-dual state is the union of pure emptiness with all form. And if you haven't accessed the pure causal formlessness, then you can't have a genuine non-duality where that formlessness is then one with all form that's arising moment to moment. A lot of people take nature mysticism and call that non-dual, and it's not, because it leaves out subtle causal and therefore non-dual states.
Got it.
So,
thank you.